Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get the ball going towards the front court. Gordon out. Clear path to the hoop. 48 for Eric Gordon.
That was last night. Eric Gordon, 48 of his 50. He wound up scoring 50 points. He made two free throws at the end of the game. Craig Ackerman, who's doing play-by-play for the game, was on his edge. It felt like he was on the edge of his seat for those two free throws, like he had money on him or something. He wanted Eric Gordon to score 50 so badly in that game. The Rockets now have three guys who've gone over 40 this year: James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Eric Gordon. They beat the Jazz last night. Maybe the most improbable win that I can remember for the Rockets in a long, long time. No Harden, no Westbrook, no Capella against the hottest team in basketball at their place in elevation on a back-to-back.
And you're going in incredibly small versus a team that has Rudy Gobert on it. That's
right.
One of the, you would think, oh boy, death, doom, and destruction. You've got the defensive player of the year. Oh wait, not the defensive player of the year from last year. Or was that the All-Star game? He was defensive player of the year last year, wasn't he?
He's always in the mix.
I think
he may have been.
Yeah. When did he cry?
He cried when he didn't make the All-Star team last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was snubbed from the All-Star team and he wept. Like a little baby. Like a little Utah B.I.
Now he can't even beat the Rockets without their three best players.
It is a pretty good plan when you think about it, though, right? Like, hey, we're going up against this team. Let's not fight them with conventional weapons.
Right.
Let's do something a little unconventional.
Asymmetrical warfare.
This is the
equivalent of sending a virus to their internet.
It's the exact same thing.
We put a virus in their internet.
That's right.
In the form of these tiny little virus-like players.
It is weird. I mean, the Rockets have been very up and down lately. They had the four-game losing streak. They won a couple games. Then they lose in Denver, which, you know, that was just a weird day on Sunday with everything that happened with Kobe. Actually, Rudy Gobert is the two-time defending defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
So he's looking to defend. So back to the Rockets. It is strange that a win that might kind of give this team a little bit of a boost, that may galvanize them a little bit, that may kind of give them a push to get them back to playing how they were earlier in the season, would be a game where none of their star players are playing in it. No disrespect to Eric Gordon.
I think it was either Red 94 or Stanford KP last night who said, okay, would we trust the full Rockets lineup to beat this Rockets lineup? Would we trust a healthy Rockets team to beat last night's Rockets team?
If we could simulate these two teams on a computer,
yeah,
in a world where Austin Rivers could theoretically be going against Austin Rivers.
I would say they put out more defensively last night than you could have
Well, the energy and the effort was at where it should be in an NBA game at all times.
Which you can't necessarily predict with the Rockets from one game to the next.
No, you cannot.
So there's a chance that several times out of 10, last night's Rockets team might have beat the normal Rockets
team. Well, here's the thing, and this is actually a good segue into what we want to talk about in this segment, which is it time to worry about James Harden, is that if James Harden doesn't start shooting the basketball better, Seth, there are not a lot of teams that the Rockets are going to beat that they're going to need to beat come April and May.
Yeah.
He's in this horrific shooting slump right now. Now, he's dealing with this injury that he suffered in that Minnesota game on Friday night, the contusion to his left thigh. So it's going to be the Russell Westbrook show on Wednesday night against Portland, Russell Westbrook and Eric Gordon. And right now we know one of the things wrong with James Harden is he's got an injury to his leg, but he wasn't playing well before that injury.
His shot is off, and I think when your go-to shot is an incredibly hard shot that few people in the NBA even try doing consistently, then it stands to reason that maybe when your shot goes off, it goes way off, and it's going to be harder to fix. And I know at least part of it was he has a tendency to fade off to his right after he takes a shot, and that's kind of historically tied to what he was getting away with it for a while, and then I think all of a sudden everything kind of jumped up and grabbed him and bit him. But I wonder if a lot of it this year is even as simple as he's always obviously the subject of a lot of attention by defenses. This year they took it to an extreme to where they're trapping him so often. And he's learned how to deal with it. But I wonder if just the constant toll that takes has somehow, even almost over the last couple seasons, has somehow finally taken its toll. I'll go back to this time last year when he had to carry the entire team on his back for as long as he did.
God, that was a year ago.
Yeah.
The 30-point per game stretch.
I remember, and you had to watch as everybody was talking about how James Harden was like, can they win this way? Is this the right way to play basketball? And everybody's ignoring the fact that Chris Paul was injured and that, right. No, that you had to do this.
Capella was hurt.
It was, oh my gosh, can everybody just go back in your mind for 1 year ago and remember how the whole damn NBA world had gone mad and acted like James Harden was doing this just because he wanted to get the points.
Oh, by the way, they went 21-11 in those 32 games.
And he's scoring plus 30 every single night because he was the only guy that could score points for you. It was ridiculous. It was absurd.
So, but
if the cumulative toll, because, you know, last night Kevin McHale was talking about, hey, you want to talk about load management, James Harden is not going to ever go abide by load management.
When he misses
time and minutes, it's because he's injured. At some point, as loath as we are to acknowledge or accept load management, I feel like Harden
could use a little bit of load management. Yeah. What are some juicier theories, do you think?
Chinese poisoning.
Did you finish the question?
Yes.
Juicier theories behind James Harden's swoon. I think anything that goes wrong
with the Rockets this year, I think we've been a little too slow to blame the Chinese for any and all of this. This is what they, do you know what they call?
This should go well.
Do you know what they call the Rockets on Chinese television right now?
Yes, I do. Tell the audience.
The red team.
Yeah.
They won't even acknowledge the Rockets by name. It's like a horror show character
or something. It's like OJ referring to himself on his YouTube videos. He can't even, or his Twitter videos.
He can't even say his own name.
He calls himself yours truly. Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly.
It's me, yours truly.
He's so disgusted with
himself. Yours truly.
He can't even say his own name.
So the Rockets, I guess earlier in the year, they wouldn't even mention them or acknowledge them over on Chinese television. Now they call them the red team.
Okay, so is this the beginning of a reconciliation at least?
We talked about asymmetrical warfare just this segment. A little bit of asymmetrical warfare on the Rockets might be, I don't know, if not straight out poisoning, I don't know, sending various forms of entertainment to his place, to his condo, or what have you. I don't know.
You think the Chinese are sending ladies of the night to James Harden's room?
What teams used to try with Lawrence Taylor?
And it worked.
No, it didn't. It blew up in their faces.
I'm sure it worked. I'm sure he signed for the women that they sent to him, but it just didn't.
It didn't affect his.
It didn't affect him.
If anything, with Lawrence
Taylor,
it's going to keep him at home, and he's going to get a good night's sleep. You know, that's the problem. It's like
kept him out of the clubs.
Yeah,
it's funny. Other theories on this?
There's the simple mechanical issues with his shot.
Yeah.
The overwork and the stress of the constant double teams.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I don't know. I'm sure people are finding a way to blame D'Antoni for this somehow. And it's amazing how, yet again, so last year where the Rockets were incredibly slow and paced, people were calling that D'Antoni ball.
Yeah.
And now this year it's the exact opposite. And now this is D'Antoni ball. All this ISO, this D'Antoni ball is not working. ISO is not D'Antoni ball, you jackasses. Like, D'Antoni's just doing what's working.
Right.
D'Antoni has been in Houston. D'Antoni ball has basically been, all right, what's working with this crew of guys and what's working with James Harden? And, ISO tends to work with James Harden.
Yeah. So the D'Antoni magic only working with one guard at a time.
That was a Lockdown Rockets podcast. I heard they were talking about that.
Okay.
That was just, he said it jokingly.
Gotcha. Okay. So the Rockets beat the Jazz last night. The trade deadline's got to be coming up pretty soon, right? Does Daryl Morey make any moves at the trade deadline?
With what?
I don't know. With
he's like Rocky at the end of Rocky V when Tommy Gunn says he's going to sue him, and he says, "Sue me for what?"
Yeah,
that's what you say.
Yep. I don't think they're ready to maneuver above the luxury tax. It feels like Daryl Morey is kind of pinned.
I think that one thing that I feel like we've seen a little bit more off ball movement from Harden as of late. And D'Antoni had some interesting quotes of this a couple weeks ago where he said, how much do you really want Harden, who's already got an incredibly high usage rate, running around without the ball too? Is that what we really need to do? Do you need to turn him into a Steph Curry? He's a different type of player than Steph Curry, and he can create his own shot. And I think there's times and elements, especially for the ambush quality of it, when you see Harden, when Harden gets involved with the ball out of his hands and you start being able to play a more intricate screen game and what have you. It doesn't have to be a steady diet of it, but when it's something that, like, all of a sudden you get this kamikaze attack and it's not something the defense is ready for, it can get things moving,
yeah,
and get things rolling. And I think we've seen that in spells here. It's just a matter of kind of refining it.
Did you, just shifting gears for a second, we've not talked much Kobe Bryant today. I think we're kind of, you know, we're tapering back into other things, as you can tell today. But the Allen Iverson post, some of these players have not, they waited a day or two to react to it because of the emotion involved. We didn't hear from LeBron James until yesterday on Kobe Bryant passing away. Allen Iverson was another one we didn't hear from until Monday. His post actually includes a very funny story. What made me think of it was you talking about Lawrence Taylor staying in his room as opposed to going out to the clubs.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this. And we talked about the connection with Iverson and Kobe yesterday, about how the two of them, to their respective basketball cities, probably mean very similar things. You know, that Kobe was in Los Angeles his whole career, but Allen Iverson, even though he wasn't a career Sixer, is viewed as a Philadelphia 76er, and he's embraced by Philadelphia still, even though he played for Denver and Detroit and Memphis down the stretch of his career. But the two of them were part of the same draft. Allen Iverson was the number one overall pick in the draft that Kobe was drafted in 1996. Allen Iverson starts his post by saying, you know, the usual stuff about words can't express how I'm feeling. Two words ring in my head, devastated and heartbroken. I can't shake this feeling. People will always remember how we competed against each other in the league, but it goes much deeper than that. The story of us being drafted in arguably the deepest draft class ever in the NBA can be debated for years to come. There's one memory of Kobe that I can't stop thinking about. It was our rookie season, my first trip to LA for a game against the Lakers. Kobe came to my hotel, picked me up, and took me to a restaurant. So these guys are probably, well, Kobe's probably 17, and Iverson's like 19 or 20 at the time.
Yeah.
When we returned, before he left, he asked me, what are you going to do tonight? My reply was, I'm going to the club. What are you going to do? Kobe said, I'm going to the gym.
Yeah. And that sounds right. That's like with Kobe.
Both are on brand.
Yeah. It's interesting, too. Iverson's one of those guys where you wonder, all right, if he had done everything that Kobe had done in terms of his preparation and whatnot, what would Iverson have been like? And I almost wonder if it wouldn't have worked for Iverson. Would have been, he's kind of like one of these, Iverson was like one of these writers from the 1930s, like Hemingway or something. If you had sobered Hemingway up and made him like go to work in an office with a tie every day on, his writing probably would have sucked. I feel like Iverson would have been the same way too. If you tried to put the clamps and restrict anything about him and his life or everything, it just wouldn't have been the same. It wouldn't have had the desired effect. Kobe just was born to be the way he was.
Yeah. And I think to that end, I think they both fit into the respective cities they were part of perfectly.
You know what? Same one, like Manning and Favre. Favre got, when he cleaned himself up and got off the painkillers and everything, it was good for his career because he'd never win a Super Bowl again. But I felt like he became a more consistent quarterback.
He did. There's some randomness built into not winning a Super Bowl.
He won the Super Bowl after the painkillers. It was the season before.
Yeah, the painkillers were early in his career.
Yeah. He got clean, and then that next season he went to the Super Bowl.
Yep, 1996. Man, AI is right. That draft was pretty bananas.
I knew I played with a guy who played with Favre and was actually the guy that was scoring the painkillers for.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, wow. For himself too. There was a veteran that they knew that had a prescription.
Had a hookup.
Yeah, and it was back in those days, they hadn't really clamped down on the pain meds the same way, and they were flowing fast and easily.
The internet's brought a lot of control to these things.
Favre checked himself in for help. He didn't get caught or anything. He checked himself in because he started having seizures. He was taking like 20 Vicodins a day and keeping up his drinking lifestyle too, which was not a mild one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.